This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I have so much I want to pack in here to this last hour. I'm looking at Fox News right now, and it says Biden is struggling to pitch Democrats on his 2024 bid.
Come on, man.
He keeps telling them he's running, and then no one's really believing him. And then Kamala said he's definitely running. She's on the ticket. And then she came out and kind of had to clarify that he intends to run. And some people thought that different phrasing, the fact that she sought out reporters, which you know she never does, unless she thinks there's a Border Patrol agent she can throw under the bus, she's steering clear of reporters. But she sought them out to make that adjustment in phrasing to say he intends to run. I don't know if it has to do with, you know, a campaign rule or something like that, where he'd have to file with the FEC if he thought he was going to run. But it's just a mess all around. And he keeps trying to tell them, like, no, guys, I'm in it. I'm ready. And I think it's kind of selective hearing. They can't. What? What's that? Sorry, Joe. I'm getting the sense that there's a lot of people getting on the phone with Joe Biden and saying, bringing up the old candy wrapper trick and going,
where is everybody?
I can't. Sorry, Joe. You're breaking up. I'm going under a tunnel. I'll get back to you. There's just no interest. And someone else who's not having a great performance and not getting a lot of great feedback from the media right now would be Karine Jean-Pierre. And I want to focus on this article from Politico because it made me laugh for several reasons. So let's start from the top. Karine Jean-Pierre, who is the press secretary, has had a tough debut. Unforced stumbles and press corps grumbles. That's the title.
There's no working theory on our part.
I love a rhyme. I'm like all those Irish poets that Joe Biden always cites. I'm a sucker for a rhyme. There were a few sentences in here that I think will jump out to my audience, and I'm just going to skip around here. It's been a rocky first month for White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. Her answers have baffled reporters and even made some of her White House colleagues wince. She's increasingly found herself sharing the podium or splitting briefings with John Kirby. We all knew that. And then it says, and listen up, because today's a day for new words. I had told you that Republicans are trying to discredit Cassidy Hutchinson. Well, we have another thing that Republicans are up to. Republicans have zeroed in on her as a useful punching bag. Add that to the list. We need a list of words, and we're going to, maybe we'll tweet it out. It's just a long list. Milking, hammering, season, weaponizing, zeroing in, pouncing, discrediting. Against such a difficult backdrop, her stumbles in several instances have made her appear underprepared. The phrasing is a beautiful thing. I just imagine how many editors have to look at this and say, yeah, add in appear, because we don't want to give the, we don't want to say that she is underprepared. That would be out of bounds. Who could ever deduce that from these briefings where there's 15 seconds of dead air while she flips through a binder? Why would you ever assume that she's underprepared? So her stumbles in several instances have made her appear underprepared in moments quickly weaponized by the right.
There we go.
Yeah. It's all very...
That's like Jeffrey Dubin being pantsless made him appear to be pantsless.
Yes. Press secretaries can't possibly keep tabs on every storyline, so it's not unusual for them to acknowledge when they don't know the answer and pledge to find more information after the briefing. Now, this is where the excuses come out, you know, because Kayleigh McEnany was always afforded these kind of excuses Then again, she never appeared underprepared, so she didn't have these issues. In her first 10 briefings as press secretary, Jean-Pierre said she didn't have the information being sought 20-plus times more than predecessor Jen Psaki in her first 10 briefings. And while White House reporters love to complain about non-answers from communications officials, many have privately grumbled that when Jean-Pierre does have answers, they are often vague and rarely stray away from the pre-written talking points prepared in the binder at the podium. Now, I love this quote from a White House reporter. This White House reporter says that he wouldn't be surprised if at some point people start voting with their feet. In other words, reporters are going to stop showing up because they're not getting any answers. She is so focused on not making a mistake that she doesn't let herself speak freely. A lot of her responses end up becoming, it appears that she's reading from a page. Again, it's just we're not saying that she's reading from a page. It appears as though she is reading from a page.
Grace, you're talking into this microphone. Gives the appearance that you are talking into a microphone.
And the unfair appearance, I might add.
The unfair appearance.
Some White House officials dismiss the idea that Jean-Pierre leans too much on the briefing books or fears going off script. Now, this is another senior White House official. They would grumble regardless of who is at the podium and find ways of critiquing those individuals. Singling her out like this is nonsensical. And Jared, can you guess now? And I'm going to say, I've bet too much money in the past, so I'm going to say that there is a chocolate bar on the line, if you get this right. At this point, they're saying that the critiques of Jean-Pierre are unfair. We've heard before that any critiques of women are sexist. Any critiques of Jean-Pierre are obviously going to be called racist. But then what is the next excuse that we go to in the lineup of she's getting unfair criticism? If we don't want to say it's racism or it's sexism, but we want to have a little whataboutism, where do we go next?
Homophobic?
Mm-mm.
Hmm.
Think orange.
Trumpian?
In a way, this person just immediately deflects back to the Trump years. Singling her out like this is nonsensical. The alternative is the Trump model of outright lying and making things up on the spot. Is that honestly critics' preference? Some black communications officials in and outside the administration.
Racism.
Yep. Feel that the White House leadership has set her up to fail by having Kirby, a white man who was in the running for her job, hovering nearby. You know, Karine Jean-Pierre is like Joe Biden. Everything is just happening to her. You know, nothing is her fault. Kirby's hovering. We are zeroing in. Critics are weaponizing. Critics are seizing. It's just not right.
I will say, in KJP's defense, do we think there is any clear evidence or response from this White House on anything?
No.
I mean, she only has the tools in her toolbox.
Yes, yes.
She's still doing a terrible job, but...
I mean, half of it, Jared, it's not about... It's just about being able to talk extemporaneously and being able to even give the appearance that you could talk in that way. And she's very, very loyal to her binder. And I don't think that's going to change anytime
soon. The binder
is
the smartest person in that administration.
Yeah, and when we come back, I want to shift away from this. But before we do, because I always do this, I have another story I want to link on to this, because we're talking about favorite phrases from the Democrats. And I have another update for you along these lines, in the same theme, you might say. In his first interview since recall, ousted San Francisco DA Chesa Boudin won't rule out another run. Because we aren't that lucky here in the United States of America. It's not enough. It's not enough that the DA in San Francisco, aka Trump country, MAGA country, San Francisco, it's not enough that his far left policies have done so much damage that he's recalled in the most liberal place in the United States. But he is not ready to give up this fight. No. He thinks we are all gluttons for punishment. And in San Francisco, they probably are. San Francisco's former district attorney, Chesa Boudin. I love that. I love that title. San Francisco's former district attorney Chesa Boudin. I almost like that as much as Pelosi's DUI husband, Paul. The titles now, it's amazing. Says he hasn't ruled out another run for office. He told this to the San Francisco Chronicle. A lot of my supporters and endorsement and donors and Democratic clubs that were behind me are urging me to run now in 2023. That's one of Howie's favorites, the U word. They're urging him to run.
Look out, London breed.
But Jared, let's see if you can fill in this blank, because right now you're 0-for-1. I'm going to give you another shot at the chocolate bar. Why isn't he going to run right now? What is his reason for staying out of politics?
Oh, this must be spend time with the family.
I want to spend time with my family. Ding, 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 ding.
Is that the family that was in the Weather Underground in the 60s? That family?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. He can't spend time with his parents. I think they're still in jail, right? But I think his mom's still in jail, I believe. The weekend after the election, I did the household errands and went shopping, things I haven't been able to do for months while running the office and fighting two separate recalls. He says, so in other words, he wants to spend more time with his family and he likes being able to run errands and go shopping. You know who else I bet would love to run errands and do some shopping? Are all the people in San Francisco who have been hurt or died because of his insane soft on crime policies.
Kathy Boudin actually passed away this year in May.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
She did serve 23 years in prison for felony murder.
What about his dad? Because it was both parents, I think, right, that were involved in it. Yeah, so he's being urged to run again, and he wants to spend more time with his family, but I'm sure...
David Gilbert was in jail, but he received a grant of clemency from Governor Andrew Cuomo August 23rd, 2021, reducing his minimum term from 75 years to 40, making him eligible for conditional release, granted parole in October of 2021, released November of 2021.
Got it. Yeah, well, I don't think we've seen the end of Chesa Boudin. I think he'll be back for more. America loves a comeback. San Francisco loves a comeback. We'll be right back with your calls, 844-500-4242. I want to talk a little bit about gas prices in Ukraine, because Joe Biden, he's doing that thing again where he tells too much information. Like, how long are you willing to fight in Ukraine? Forever! There will be no end in sight. Maybe we keep that one close to the chest.
We'll fight as long as this new missile defense that we sent them shows up. It's called the Wildcat. They shoot missiles and the trajectory. Oh, sorry. I'm talking too much.
Forget that. That wasn't on the note card. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with your calls. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potato
chips. You'll get nothing and like it.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
But my second question is, G7 leaders this week pledged to support Ukraine, quote, for as long as it takes. And I'm wondering if you would explain what that means to the American people. For as long as it takes. Does it mean indefinite support from the United States or Ukraine? Or will there come a time when you have to say to President Zelensky that the United States cannot support his country any longer? Thank you.
We are going to support Ukraine as long as it takes.
Again, I'm not a foreign policy expert. Neither is Joe Biden, though. If you've ever read Robert Gates's book about Joe Biden, you'd know that Biden's been wrong on every single foreign policy decision over the last four decades. I just can't imagine that the experts that we're always referencing, the experts when it comes to foreign policy, would advise you to lay all your cards on the table when going up against Vladimir Putin. I can't imagine. It's not a good tactic in poker, and it's not a good tactic when you're the president of the United States to say, we're willing to spend billions of dollars on this forever, essentially. Is that that's what he's telling people.
Well, he did actually follow up with some definition of when this will be enough.
We are going to stick with Ukraine, and all of the allies are going to stick with Ukraine as long as it takes to, in fact, make sure that they are not defeated by Ukraine.
Oh, good. Okay, so if we're going based off that, I think we can wrap it up, right? That means it's over. He constantly does that with Russia, Ukraine. It's really frightening. And another cut that I do want to get to here, because we promised people, is the Sherbert cut. Jared had mentioned that Biden randomly said Sherbert in the middle of an answer. And of course, I thought, oh, here he goes again. Jared's making up stories. Turns out, fact check, this is true. Let's hear it.
We've delegated, commissioned a group of our national security people to sit down and work out that mechanism. We think it can be done.
Kind of sounded like orange sherbet. Are you a sherbet guy? I've never been a fan. My brother used to love orange sherbet when we were little. Ugh, gross me out.
I like sherbet in church punch, if you've ever had it. It's like Hawaiian punch, ginger ale, and sherbet. That's the time that I like sherbet. But as its own.
That sounds grody.
Oh, it's delicious.
That sounds terrible.
I didn't grow up with your fancy Capri Suns, Grace. We had to make do. With what we had.
Wait, you just put a scoop in it? Is it in a punch bowl?
It's in a punch bowl. You put in a bottle
of ginger
ale. You
know, that's where you lose me. The punch bowl is where you lose me. I don't like any sort of drink that I have to scoop. You know, it feels too soupy to me. Like, is there a ladle involved?
There was always that one weird ladle.
And where would you have this? At church?
I mean, it's called church punch because it was big in like church get-togethers and lower church halls and stuff like that.
Do you ever make an individual one for yourself?
I have not. It's just, you can't get the right amount of sherbet.
It just doesn't feel right either.
It's like making soup. You can't just make a little soup from scratch. You got to make a gigantic
pot. And it just doesn't feel the same, you know?
It does not.
Well, that actually brings us to our poll question. Believe it or not, you're probably going, really, it does?
Sure.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Grace Curley Show store. Right now, you can purchase a $50 gift card to Aviva Trattoria for just $25. So get your half off Aviva Trattoria gift card now at gracecurleyshow.com and click on store. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What will Joe Biden do for the 4th? Stay in D.C., ice cream photo op, beach walk, or bike ride?
Well, based off that answer, I think this is kind of like when you play the Beatles backwards. I think he's trying to give us Easter eggs and give us a hint as to what he has planned next. So I'm going to say eat ice cream.
I want a double dip waffle cone with vanilla chocolate chip.
Unless he really wants to prove us all wrong this weekend and get back on the bike and eat ice cream at the same time. Do a little balancing act. And maybe have
helmets with the straws just slurping the ice.
Yeah, he'll have that, and then he'll have the dog on a leash, and then he'll be riding the bicycle.
Will be leading him, like pulling a wagon.
Yeah, anything's possible, but I'm going to go with ice cream, Jared.
Ice cream photo op in the lead, 63%, 29% for beach walk, 8% for bike ride, and still a big ol' zero for stay in D.C.
I was not, this will come as a shock to people, I was not impressed with his answers today, and neither was David Axelrod. I'm going to save this for the other side, but even when David Axelrod is criticizing your responses to inflation, you know it's getting bad. I think it's overwhelming for people at this point to hear another excuse. Like, he gets asked about inflation, about people not being confident in the direction of the country, and now he goes straight to, not Putin, the Supreme Court. It's amazing. We'll be right back with your calls, 844-500-4242. We've got some great Fauci sound when we come back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
The one thing that has been destabilizing is the outrageous behavior of the Supreme Court of the United States. An overruling not only Roe v. Wade, but essentially challenging the right to privacy. We've been a leader in the world in terms of personal rights and privacy rights. And it is a mistake, in my view, for the Supreme Court to do what it did. But I have not seen anyone come up to me do anything other than, nor have you heard them say anything other than, thank you for America's leadership. You've changed the dynamic of NATO and the G7.
How does he know that that's all the reporter has heard? And there's also a cut of him repeating the same lie that inflation is lower here than anywhere else. That's just not true. He's been fact-checked on that multiple times. But the guy is undebunkable. You can't debunk anything he says. He's not going to give it up. He's just going to keep going. And I think right now what we're seeing is he truly believes that if he just yells out these... This is how little Democrat politicians think of their base. If we just...
Sure, international average of pressure.
We don't have to make a good argument. We don't have to make anyone's life... I don't even want to say make people's lives better, but just we don't have to stay out of people's way. We don't have to not actively try to make their lives worse. All we have to do is wait a few months until election time, get some celebrities to sing some stupid song into a microphone from their iPhone, and have a few key trigger words that let people know why they need to vote for us. And if it's not Putin's price hike, they decided, you know what? That's a little long. That's three words. That might not really get the message across. So now it's Supreme Court. He doesn't miss a beat. They list off everything that's happening right now. Inflation, Ukraine and Russia, the war.
Russia.
Sometimes when Joe says Ukraine fighting Ukraine or Russia invading Russia, it can get confusing. But all of these things, they list them off. And his response is, when he's in Madrid, by the way. So very nice. You know, he's bashing all of us from Madrid. How lovely. How sophisticated of him. He says, now the main thing is the Supreme Court. I would beg to differ. I know that I'm just, you know, looking for a three square meal, staring at the ceiling fan, sitting around the kitchen table. But I don't think, you know, if he wants to talk, let's go back to the kitchen table. Let's talk about the kitchen table. Do they really think that people are sitting around the kitchen table talking about January 6th or talking about the Supreme Court decision to, deal a blow to the EPA? Like, is this what they think people are sitting around worried about? I think most people are talking about the price of gas. They're talking about inflation. They're talking about crime. And they're not talking about, what do you think about Trump lunging towards the steering wheel? But there is a disconnect here. And it's a purposeful disconnect. Because they want to create this narrative. They know the media will run with it. And so it's all you're going to hear about now is the Supreme Court, Putin's price hike until November. And meanwhile, people are struggling and people are suffering. And I think that when we look at what happened with January 6th and we look at these committee hearings, it's pretty unreal to watch Jamie Raskin try to defend this spectacle. He was on with Jake Tapper. I have to play these sound cuts. They're unbelievable. Jared, let's just play them one at a time in order.
It is just an incredibly damning and dramatic story. I would just, as a journalist and as an American, appreciate more corroboration for the story, since as of now, it is hearsay. I mean, it is.
Oh, sure.
Somebody.
Oh, sure. Okay, good. So at least we're all on the same page. There was an unbelievable montage of just it going back and forth between the tweets that came out after this ridiculous lie that Cassidy Hutchinson said, and then Jamie Raskin being interviewed by Jake Tapper. They don't have any corroborating evidence. It's her word against the people's words that were actually there. Who are you going to believe? If you have a story, right, and it's about two people, and there's this third party, so it's an A-B conversation, and there's a C over here, and the C is telling you that A and B had this conversation, do you think that if those two people, if A and B say to you, no, that didn't happen, then it's done. They were actually there for the conversation. That's it. It's just, it blows my mind that we're actually taking this seriously. Let's play the other Raskin cut.
She did not see it happen. Do you have any corroborating evidence that that story is true, or do you only have it from Cassidy Hutchinson?
Well,
The story that she told is the evidence that I'm aware of.
Your committee interviewed Tony Amato and Stephen Engel, who supposedly told her this story. Did you ask about this story? It is a shocking story. I mean, maybe you didn't know about it at the time. I don't know.
I was not involved in either of those interviews.
Okay. So we got nothing, right? That's what we're coming to the conclusion of. We have zero. We're just taking this woman's, but you know what, Jared? You can't insult her because the big thing is, what does she have to gain from it? You've seen her picture all over the news for the last 24 hours. What could she possibly have to gain from this? All right, I want to switch gears just a little bit here and get this in before the end of the show. I saw this cut today of Dr. Fauci, and I hadn't heard from him in a while, and I'm not going to say I missed him. But when I saw this video, I was very curious. I'm like, what's he talking about now? You know, is he talking about a new strain? What's he up to? But a lot of people forget, Fauci recently had COVID. I think he's been vaxxed 4 times. He's a booster person. And he had COVID, and now he's sharing his story.
Fully vaccinated booster person.
So let's take a listen to Fauci walking us through this journey. This is cut 31.
And after I finished the 5 days of Paxlovid, I reverted to negative on an antigen test for 3 days in a row. And then on the 4th day, just to be absolutely certain, I tested myself again and I reverted back to positive by the antigen test. So it was sort of what people are referring to as a Paxlovid rebound. And then over the next day or so, I started to feel really poorly, much worse than in the first go around. So I went back to the Paxlovid and now I have to
Yeah, that sums it up. Anything else? Back and forth. It's like watching a tennis game.
Fauci, ouchie.
As we talk about COVID, I wanted to give people an update on that American Rescue Plan that Biden's always touting. When he's touting it, it's the American Rescue Pan. $825,000 in American Rescue Pan funds went to oral historians researching anti-racism and Latinx histories.
Oh, boy.
The ARP Act was billed by the Democratic Party as an economic necessity for getting the country through the COVID-19 pandemic. The National Endowment for the Humanities, NEH, which received $135 million from the plan, announced last October that it had allocated $87 million in funds to nearly 300 cultural and educational institutions to help them recover from the economic impact of the pandemic. All sounds good, right?
My good.
Until you get into a little bit of the nitty gritty. It's always the devil is in the details in these situations. The waste is in the details too. Maybe the devil's in the pork. So the Oral History Association, for instance, received $825,000 in ARP funds for a grant-making project titled Diversifying Oral History Practice, a fellowship program for underemployed oral historians, which provided 11 year-long fellowships for $60,000 each for oral historians from communities which have been historically marginalized in the field. The obvious follow-up here is, what does that have to do with COVID? You got to go somewhere else to get that answer. I have no idea. Recipients of the $60,000 grants included Elizabeth Beth Castle, a Shawnee-ancestored anti-race educator, to create a collaborative oral history of the fight against mineral and uranium mining in the Black Hills and other things. As there's something about Mother Earth in there as well. Another $60,000 grant recipient included oral historian Virginia Espino for her project exploring the intimate histories of working class Latinx. Also, the NEH awarded $50,000 in ARP funds for a nonprofit organization in the Northern Mariana Islands called 500 Sails for reopening programs that teach indigenous canoe building and explore pre-colonial sea life. This is funny to you, sir?
Yes.
The NEH also awarded $471,000 in ARP funds to the Carnegie Institute in Pittsburgh for the ongoing development of an existing exhibit on ancient Egypt.
This is so many words that just don't seem to belong together.
Yeah, and there's nothing about COVID.
So many words.
We spent so much money on COVID relief. This and makes- all it's relieving is the oral historian. I don't even know. I don't know what this any of this is.
This makes the Ted Kennedy Institute bar bill or whatever they paid off look like a sound investment.
Yeah, this makes me, when I look at this stuff, I go, why didn't the Kennedy Submergence Institute get more money? Because that seems like a better use of this money than all the other things I'm reading. Why didn't Big Sherbert get a few million dollars? It's just, it's a damn shame. You know?
Sherbert.
I thought it was bad when the schools were building smoothie rooms with their COVID money. But compared to all this, Jared, smoothie rooms seem like...
Oral smoothie historians.
A smoothie room sounds like reasonable spending compared to some of this stuff. 844-500-4242. Well, it's always good to end it on a Sherbert note. We'll be right back with Howard Lawrence Carr. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Because when the United States and G7 countries put skin in the game, it helps bring millions of dollars up to, before it's all over, up to possibly $1 trillion of private sector money off the sidelines.
That was Joe Biden today in Madrid. Mitch McConnell, Senator Mitch McConnell, has slammed him for the speech and says he needs to stop blame shifting, to which Joe Biden said, hey, it's not my fault. It's not my fault I blame shifted. Blame my speechwriter. Today's Car Crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. I've got a nice little chunk of time here to talk to Howie Carr. Howie, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
What do you have planned for today? In your mind, what's the biggest story of the day?
I think it's still January 6th hearings and also Joe Biden making a fool out of himself. But I guess that's not really new news, is it?
Well,
that's kind of a recurring headline, kind of like Biden White House tries to deflect blame on fill in the blank.
Howie, I had said this earlier to my guest, Libby Emmons. I said there used to be this kind of expression or motto that presidents would use, that politics stops at the water's edge when you go over, when you're in another country. You try to at least have the appearance of a unified front. He's totally done away with that. He was going after the Supreme Court today. It was really despicable.
Everything. It started under Obama, you know, when he went on his apology tour of the Mideast and talked about the Muslim founding fathers of America and that kind of nonsense. And, you know, it's just gotten worse and worse as time has gone on.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And you know how bad it is that David Axelrod is criticizing Joe Biden and saying there's not a lot he can do about inflation. Let's have cut 33, please, Jared.
When the president got into those questions, gas prices and inflation and abortion rights, there was a lot less of that certainty, a lot less of that emphatic nature of his initial presentation on NATO because he doesn't have great answers.
I didn't sense a great deal of confidence in his answers about NATO. He seems very confused about geography, the names of countries, the processes that we're trying to implement over there. I don't think he has a clue.
Yeah, and it's also just the fact that he's trying to come up with all of these answers. He's trying to not take questions from the wrong people. I mean, he's got a list of five people. I don't know what happened to AP Zeke, by the way. Zeke Miller, maybe he only gets questions.
What I really liked was when he confused Sweden and Switzerland. That reminded me, you remember there was a Red Sox relief pitcher named Bob Stanley? He wasn't a bad guy. He was a funny guy. But he was a goofball. And he got a big contract one time, and they said, what are you going to do with the money now, Bob? And he said, I think I'm going to put it in one of them secret Swedish bank accounts.
Oh, boy.
And suddenly, I was thinking of Bob Stanley again. He was also, he had a really bad year one year. And they said, what are your plans in the off season? He says, I can't wait for New Year's Eve so I can get hammered and forget all about this year.
Hey, that's an honest answer. If we got some honesty out of this White House like that, I would be very happy. The Farm Bureau estimates, Howie, that the July 4th food basket costs 17% more in 2022. I don't even know if they're going based off normal people food, like hot dogs and hamburgers and chips, or if they're going based off...
Well, we're saying some of the stuff like strawberries was down, potato chips are down. I haven't seen that. I mean, potato chips may be like pretty much, the same, but I don't think they're down. But another thing I noticed, last year they were claiming just exactly a year ago that the fact that the price of the basket had gone down 16 cents was an indication that the Biden-Brandon inflation policy was succeeding.
Yeah, we were supposed
to
do that.
And now it's not just up 16 cents, it's up 10% across the board.
20 hot dogs would equal roughly a nickel.
Yeah, we're not supposed to know it. We're
still supposed to think it's a great success.
Yeah,
it's
I wonder if they're going to put that graphic up like they did last year of the pork chops and the sliced cheese and the ice cream and say, hey, everything's more expensive this year. Thanks, Brandon. By the way, if you are trying to save a few bucks, a really good thing to do is go to gracecurlyshow.com and enter to win $50 of gas money. If you enter, you'll be entered to win in my show. And then just in a few minutes, Howie's show will be able to draw a winner as well. Today's winner, and a big congratulations, goes to Bob from Sagamore Beach, Massachusetts. Congratulations, Bob.
You won! You did it!
Symbolization.
And while you're at the Grace Curley Show, gracecurlyshow.com, and you can go to the store and get a $50 gift card from Aviva Trattoria for only $25. That's a really great deal. Howie, everything is expensive. And to make matters worse, flights. Have you been looking at these headlines from Fox about the traveling? The flights are getting canceled. It looks like it's not going to stop during this weekend.
My daughter's coming in from New York. You know what she came in on?
Amtrak?
That's right.
We call her Amtrak Tina.
Joey baby.
Tina baby. That's what she heard when she was on the Amtrak today. Yeah, people are driving, and that's painful too, because then you gotta, most of the time, Howie, you gotta fill up your gas tank. And that hurts.
It does. It hurts big time. But all the right. Price is way down. It's down to from $5 to $4.88 a gallon.
Celebrate good times.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Brandon.
Howie Carr is coming up next with a big show for all of you. I'll be back tomorrow for our Friday program. Don't go anywhere.
Sure.